This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Might be our first actual hump day since, like, May. Both of us working 5-day weeks. You're off Sunday. That's not even
right.
Applicable.
Yeah.
But it actually is. No Labor Days and...
Right. No vacations.
Imagine if we lived in Canada and had every first Monday of the month off in the summer. Simcoe Day, really? Canada?
Victoria Day.
Have some self-respect.
Bank holiday.
Yeah, just, yeah. We want to give our people some time off in the summer. I respect it, but just stop it. So it's hump day, actually, this time. It's also steak night.
Well,
how do I look?
For some of us.
I'm going to try to get away with this.
You look a little, I don't know.
Under?
I don't know. It's just a lot. There's a lot going on there. The shoes with the shorts. I don't know. I'm just not sure. I don't know. The shoes.
You're not the guy I would ask.
No, that's right.
You're the guy who's here.
I don't. Yeah. I want to use some swear words here. I don't know a lot about this area, but there's a lot going on there.
Okay.
The shoes with the shorts is the thing to me. The rest of it, the vest. With the
I think I'm creating something.
I like the shorts
something.
And I like the shirt.
I think I'm inventing something.
You, a 53-year-old man in Western New York, you're creating a fashion.
A look.
Yeah?
I think so. Yeah.
All right. I wish you luck with that.
I went to Canada last night for my daughter's hockey game.
I don't know if I want to be alongside for much of it.
Every guy I saw from Canada, like that probably lived in Canada, had like the collar up. They all looked like Kevin Bacon in Footloose or something. They all had like sort of the 80s, 90s collar up, you know, sort of faux formal a little bit. Just sort of like, we'll just put the collar up and maybe we're okay. And I asked my wife, like, can I pull that off? She's like, no. But, you know, maybe that's a look. What's old is new again.
I'm sorry, you got that pumped up there then?
No, not now.
No, okay. The way you just fiddled with it, because it's outside the vest now, and I thought maybe it was up. Okay. Yeah, I don't... That is...
Not in Canada.
Listen, I'm not saying you can't recover from this with me, but you roll up to me on the golf course, I'm there with a friend, and there's another pair coming, and like the starter's goes, hey, why don't you guys, okay, and you roll up, you got the collar up on the shirt, like we are off to a very bad start.
Yeah, I know.
We are just off to a very bad, you might be extremely nice, and I might get over it after a few holes, but I have immediately judged you probably too harshly. But
collar
that's
up.
Just,
it's coming back, though.
I'm aware.
I think usually Canada's first.
It is a little more, it's a little more, Toronto. Yeah, it's a little more international than we're used to.
Of course,
That's why I'm taking a shot at you, being a 53-year-old man from Buffalo, thinks you're starting something.
You got the age right. You have the quintessential Red Sox hat on today as our viewers on YouTube and Twitch.
I went to Boston seeking this hat. I wanted this hat, and we stopped in one place that had these on a rack, but they had they were snapbacks. They were, one size fits all. And I'm like, no, I can do better than that. It's got to be a store with a better selection. And the second place we went in, the first rack of hats I walked up to had these fitted 7 3/4. The one on top was my hat. I'm like, there it is. 7 3/4. Let's go. Yeah, this is the Red Sox hat I fell in love with them.
70s.
75 World Series, this hat. Yep. Like the uniform they wore then with the V-neck top, not a look I really like, but the hat.
I had that shirt.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know why, but I had that
Red Sox
jersey.
Were you trying to start a thing
jersey
with that back then?
I had the Red Sox.
Wow.
I had a few different teams. I never had Cincinnati. I had the Cincinnati starter, the jacket, which I loved. I wish I still had that.
Yeah.
But didn't have the Red Sox white V-neck shirt. It wasn't a jersey even back then. You couldn't buy jerseys. No number or anything like that, but I had that. I had the Mets one, too, with the pinstripes.
Yeah.
Mets.
All right.
Anyway.
I learned a little something.
About me.
Yeah, real quick, because we got, I have a show to do about the football and the Bills. But I learned something about the alternate uniforms these baseball teams are wearing. I got loose on Yankees and Dodgers. I was watching a Yankee-Dodger game on a Friday night or a Saturday night. It was like the game of the week.
They're in yellow.
And the Dodgers were wearing something dopey. And I was just like, what? Come on. Yankees-Dodgers. Give me Yankees-Dodgers, right? Well, I was at a Marlins-Red Sox game. Okay, not a real, not a storied rivalry, really. It might have been the first time they ever played. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Right? But the Red Sox were wearing, they wear the red tops sometimes, and I don't even know if that goes with these hats or not. I'm not sure if they wear these hats. Anyway, they've got the City Connect uniforms, which are like the Boston Marathon colors, and I think that's a blue hat or a yellow hat even that matches the colors. And then they have a Fenway uniform now, which is green with green caps. And when I watch them on TV, I go like, come on, what are we doing here? I'll tell you what, in person, they really looked good. They popped in person in a way that on TV, they just kind of look like, bleh. So, I don't know, whatever.
Love to pop in person.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to bring this up. So, Sunday's game was pretty weird for trying to figure out anything about what the Bills want to be. They were down. They had to push it. They did. They were successful. But it wasn't sort of a traditional game where you could, all right, well, finally we've got some real evidence of what they want their offense to be. It doesn't really give you that. And it's possible because they're such big favorites for the next month plus that we still won't know. I just wanted to check back in on Everybody Eats. Because in Sunday's game, everybody did not eat. Like, it was not, you would never use that from Sunday's game. But they were down. They did run 85 plays, which is insane, to Baltimore's 51. I wonder what the win percentage is of teams that run 30 more plays than their opponent. Like, would they usually win or would they usually not win? Like, the Ravens were, it was the Kansas City playoff game here 2 years ago where they were just like so efficient on offense, they didn't really need to keep the ball. And then it was still the Bills had a great chance to win that game too. That was the incomplete back-to-back passes in the end zone and then the missed field goal. And that was it. But I just wonder what if anything, you think Sunday told us about how they might want their offense to be the same or different? You had Coleman on Sunday night get to 11 targets. Targets, I think, is the starting point.
Yeah.
8 for 112 and 1. Shakir, 9 targets. Palmer, 9 targets.
Right.
Samuel doesn't play, right? Elijah Moore is 1.
Mm-hmm.
Knox is 1. Kincaid is 4. What does it change anything for you?
You skipped Cook and Kincaid, 5 and 4 each. I'm wondering how many more mouths in the trough do you need to qualify for Everybody Eats? I mean, 11, 9, 9, 5, 4, their top 5 receivers. That's pretty good. I mean, and Coleman didn't get to 11. He was at 1, I think, going into the fourth quarter. So that they just sort of erupted there.
That's what I mean.
I think, so he's at the top, and he ends up looking like an aberration to Everybody Eats. He has a number one receiver stat line, kind of.
In
the game, in the end. But I think the balance of the game is still Everybody Eats, almost except Coleman. He only had one target before the fourth quarter. But the rest of it, like the stats, I think are pretty respectable in the end, in the passing game, and everybody else except for Palmer had that big catch, obviously, to pad his yards on the last drive. But everybody else did what they did before, really, that last drive, if not even the fourth quarter, and then Coleman just, elevated.
Well, then,
so I think it was still mostly what they've been preaching, just with Coleman popping at the end.
So if you don't want to completely eliminate the fourth quarter.
No.
But before the fourth quarter, Allen is at 143 passing yards, and they're down big.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like last year's playoff game where he throws for one similar, like 122 or whatever that was last year, something low. But you have the fourth quarter where this is a big part of the conversation from the last 2 days is, well, they threw it because they needed to.
Right.
But do they want to? And when they needed to, they were successful. But still, like, it's 143 through three quarters. Like, that's a little bit gross.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like Cook was doing anything. What was their rushing output?
Right. No, he didn't have he didn't have much on the ground. He was 13 for 44.
In the end, yeah.
Yeah, right.
That might have been it.
Yeah. I mean, Allen was 14 for 30. As it turned out.
With the kneel downs.
Right. Ray Davis had one touch for 2 yards. One catch, too, because he had 2 touches. I suspect that what we saw for 3 quarters is more what they want to be than what they were in the fourth quarter. I think I said it right away on Monday. Like, I think they were sort of forced at gunpoint into having to, be a little more aggressive or a lot more aggressive about it. And it worked. And how much that coincided with what Baltimore was doing, how much did they change what they were doing versus what was happening earlier? But yeah, I mean, halftime of the game, they showed the stat on the screen. Allen, 41% of his passes were at or behind the line of scrimmage to that point in the game. And that is very reminiscent of Kansas City in the playoffs. And really, their offense was that a lot
last
season.
I feel like the bottom line here is, does this game move you at all about their chances? Like, does it change anything for you about their chances? Does it, like, okay, so they didn't really want to push the ball. They did because they had to. Cook was Cook, whatever. It's always this for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even care. Does the course of the game change anything for you about how this is going to end?
I don't, it's so early.
I feel like Baltimore is the reason why it might.
Well, sure. They're a particularly odd, difficult matchup. I think for everyone in the league, they're an oddity with how they can play. The quarterback's talent, the running back, how unique he is. When they have their full arsenal of guys, like the big fullback and all of it, like they, I think the Bills try to do this too with the sixth lineman, and now Jackson Hawes maybe in that spot a little more often this year as opposed to Anderson. But they're going to try to bully you too. I think the Bills want to play that. I think we got a season's worth, if not more. I mean, I don't want to, you know, the back half of the first, you know, when Brady took over, it's hard to like hang on them because how much of that was really his thing? You know, they just sort of piecemeal, whatever. But they became more run heavy, and I think I would guess they still want to be that. That they still would like to have like close to a 50-50 split. I mean, again, they got dragged out of it in this game because they really didn't have any choice. And they ended up with 46 pass attempts and 31 rush attempts. But if this game isn't a 15-point game in the fourth quarter or as crooked as it is even in the first half, that the run-pass split is closer to 50-50.
Well, the next team they're going to play that they're not more than a 6-point favorite or less actually than a 6-point favorite against is in week six. And that's the Falcons. Like they should be, they're 6 to 7 point favorites against the Jets, unless something weird happens. It'll be the same or more against Miami, at least as much against New Orleans in week four, and then New England in week five. Maybe New England sort of shows itself to be actually not terrible by then, but week one, a big letdown, hasn't happened yet. So they'll be able to be that the team that I think they want to be for a while here. We'll see what happens on Sunday, because I think they'll go into that game on Sunday trying to establish what they couldn't against the Ravens, which is like this is who we were last year. We own this division. We're just going to bully you up front.
Yeah, and the game in New York last year was that.
Without Cook.
Cook missed it, but Davis, the first drive of that game, I just heard Chris and Steve on One Bills Live talking about this game from last year. 10-play drive to start the game, 9 runs.
But they still barely won.
I know, but they attacked that way, and I would guess that they'll try to do the same thing against the Jets.
Me too. I think I'll reserve the right to hate it, because you shouldn't ever barely beat the Jets if you have Josh Allen, right? Like, they barely won. That was in the crux of our sort of angst about what they're trying to do, because like that came out the last 2 days on this show from fans. Like, why do you have to be under pressure to let him out?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good question. It's always been a good question. And that game, the Monday night game, right? Monday?
Yep.
Monday night game last year at the Jets was one where like, why do we have to play it so close? And also the year before against them where you lost.
I think if I remember it right, they got out. It worked enough for them to get a lead, and then I think they only scored 3 points in the second half. Like, they just escaped.
Yeah, well, that's the Ravens Sunday without the escape.
With a win, yeah. So, I mean, it worked effectively enough for them to build a lead, but then they just didn't – they couldn't do that well enough to, you know, continue to extend that lead, pad that lead, you know, whatever. So it was, but I think the Jets personnel is still very much similar enough that I would expect that they would think, all right, this is how we can beat you. We're going to come out and, you know, Jackson Hawes and Alec Anderson, and let's go.
So is it okay?
I mean,
isn't that the question? Like,
I think of course it's okay as long as it wins.
Well,
you know, like that's
obvious.
That's all that matters. So, and it, you know, it won. This is Brandon Bean calling the morning show after the draft. He was scheduled to be on. He didn't just call in. I don't mean to phrase it that way to make it more pejorative. But, you know, scoreboard. Like, it's fine. If you're going to score 30 points a game, it's fine. But you don't want to be clawing from behind against every good team you play because you're so conservative going into it.
I know, but they're not going to play any good teams.
Right.
For 2 months.
Yeah, we might not have an answer to this for a while.
What do we do then? Right? I mean,
yell at each other.
That's really, I think, like if you're at steak night tonight, which I don't know. You're saying I'm not dressed for it.
No, I'm saying the shoes are weird. The rest of it is good. The shoes are odd.
I couldn't find the shoes I wanted.
The shoes are an odd choice.
But it's, of course, Fluvog. If you're at steak night tonight and the Bills come up, isn't this the conversation? Isn't this sort of like the intelligent conversation right now that the Bills, that Bills fans are having? Everybody knows how good Allen is. Everybody knows what they've done. Everybody knows how bad the division is probably going to be. Okay, so what is it when it matters? Are they going to try to boat race good teams, or are they just going to try to beat them 23-20? That's really the question. Mm-hmm. That's the question about Sean McDermott. That's the question about the Bills. They don't have what they want, because in the playoffs, it's, you know, different things. It's kind of nuanced, but it's like they can't get the stop, or they play it a little bit too slow, and then time's up and Kansas City's shooting off fireworks and we go home. Like, are they going to be – maybe the game won't be in Kansas City this time. Like, that's what right now is about. Whatever you have to do, win all these games and then, you know, play who you need to play at home in the playoffs off a bye, maybe off like the Chiefs had last year, which was like 2-3 weeks off, whatever it was. Like, just sort of get yourself into the best position. But I don't know what Sunday – like, Sunday was so famously cool for the comeback and the spectacle of it. You know, what a game. What did we learn about who they want to be? Is it anything different? If you're somebody that thought they were just too run-minded, too conservative, if that's not the same thing, I don't want it to be the same thing, then, like, is anything different right now? Like, they played their equal, you know, give or take, and they pretty much got buried until it just sort of flipped at the end and they escaped. I guess I'm saying I don't feel any better. The wide receiver point, the Brandon Bean stuff, like, Samuel is a scratch. Is he dead? Like, is Samuel just dead? Elijah Moore is one target. It's not everybody eats. It's Coleman and Shakir in desperation and Palmer. Like, they were under duress and they went to those guys and it worked. And Cook is just Cook, right? I mean, he's 5 for 58, including a 51. He's 4 for 7 plus a 51. I don't know. Is that meaningful? So Jackson, Hawes, Knox, Kincaid had the early one. That was about it for him. Is it okay?
That's all I'm doing. Big one at the half too, Kincaid. That was
right.
A good job on that play.
That's right. Is it okay?
If it, you know, I think for now it is. You know, and I don't know. I think we'd feel differently if we got one of these games. It feels like we're a long ways. I'm now thinking, and this is not a project I think I'm going to undertake during the next commercial break. I want to go back, like, under Brady. Like, is there a game? You remember the game? Funny, they're playing at the Jets here early in Allen's career with Daboll. We're like, what do we have here? And, like, how much are they going to trust Allen? And they come out, and it's like 14 passes in a row. This is like
week one.
Yeah. It's just like, boom, 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 boom. Like, this is who we want. You know, get ready, NFL. Here we come. We definitely feel like we are very far from that. But I don't know. Like, I might be, we all might be, because they are a more run-centric team, and we're sort of consumed by everybody eats. I'm wondering if there's a game in here in Brady's tenure as old coordinator where that happens. You know, where it's, you know, beginning of the game or a close game, and you get just pass, 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 pass. One does not spring to mind. I mean, the most recent one I can think of is that Jet game, and that's 4 or 5 years ago now? It seems like a long time ago.
That's 19 opener.
Wow.
Right. I think. Because 20 opener is COVID and the Bills are at home against the Jets, right. And nobody's there. So that's 19. CJ Mosley.
It's a very long time ago. Yeah.
They're down and John Brown, they pull it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Send your complaints to at WGR550 on Bulldogs here. So we'll call it the X platform. 803-0550. Is the offense good for you? Is anything different? After Sunday, we will talk Jets with Dan Leberfeld at 4. Sal joins us at 5. Trista is back, 6 o'clock tonight. Is that tonight?
Yes, that is tonight.
6 is tonight? 5 is today? 6 is tonight?
Yes.
6, you'd call it tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Any comments on my outfit are welcome. I mean, see the whole thing, but... Bring it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Definitely it's frustrating, you know. I put in so much hard work to try to limit things like that from happening, the maintenance I do, but it's football, me understanding that, but blessed and highly favored because I was able to walk off the field, not get carted off, so I got to count the baby steps and count the little small blessings for sure.
Trey White with Sal Capaccio. Sal will join us at 5 Eastern. We'll see about Trey White for week two. Such a huge win. Cannot be overstated, I think. Ross was this way yesterday. Just, you can't say enough about how important it was for the Bills to get that win. Imagine if they don't. However, they don't come back. Hamilton blocks the field goal. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You just lose. And what are we talking about for the next while is just like, the climb to the one, and the Ravens would have the game and a half, that extra edge for having the tiebreaker. Now the Bills have that. The Ravens have the tougher schedule, not this week, but they both have, they're both big favorites.
And the Chiefs could be staring at an 0-2 start. I mean, I know they're at home, but they've got the Eagles coming in, and like it, that looks, I mean, it's 1 week, but the Chiefs looked at worse than any contending team in the AFC, like a real, I don't know, Cincinnati, how
Houston.
Yeah, of the big three, certainly the Chiefs were the lousiest looking.
But they could have won.
Sure.
Right? Like if they get the stop on Herbert there, and I don't know, this is our thing, right? Where like you're down less than one score, but you have the ball with 2 minutes to go. Who would you rather be?
I would expect Kansas City to win that game.
Yeah. Throwing five passes to Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, it definitely felt like, I know like so much has happened since Friday night, and like we don't get, you know, we get a couple days in between and never really get to sit with that game because it just, it almost seems like an afterthought. But yeah, they're in 3rd and 14 or whatever that is, 3rd and 15,
yeah.
And Herbert takes off for 19 yards. I don't know what Bills fan that was watching that game wasn't thinking, here we go again. Like the Chiefs, are, they're going to get away with it. They look awful. They're maybe their most important receiver, you know, aside from the guy that's suspended, is hurt in the first series, but and they're on the ropes, but they're going to get the ball back, and they're going to go down and win the game.
They did not put Worthy on IR today. So they're thinking fewer than four games, like we just heard from Trey White, the Bills and him. Eagles Sunday at the Giants next Sunday night. Okay, well, it's primetime on the road. They'll be favored. Baltimore in week four. At Jacksonville Monday night, week five. Detroit at home Sunday night, week six. Raiders, Washington home week eight, Monday night. You see a lot of the Chiefs. Then they're here. Before you know it, they'll be here.
Yeah.
Like, what would they take? What would you take, before we get to your calls, what would you take for Kansas City going into the Bills game? 5-3? No. It's close.
I think so.
You take 5-3?
I think I would.
Kansas City?
With that schedule, I mean, assuming they're still, like if the Bills had lost and had that schedule, I would want to feel like 5-3 is realistic. I don't think it's like outrageous to ask for more than that. To have them lose four games in the first half of the season would be incredible.
But to take it means like, all right, well, I'll settle for 5-3.
Yeah.
Is 4-4 realistic? Like, are you worried about 4-4?
I need to hear the games again, please.
Eagles at home, at the Giants, Ravens at home, at the Jaguars Monday night, Lions at home Sunday night, Raiders at home, Washington at home Monday night.
So
5-3 would be my guess. I think that's the minimum.
Get the Giant and Jacksonville game should be wins.
Road games.
Sure.
The rest are all at home.
And the Raider game, I think you're favorite in all three of those games, depending on what happens between now and then, of course. But like sitting here today, you're favorite in all three of those games. Then the other ones, maybe I'm splitting. Like are there four contending-ish teams in there that you rattled off?
Philly, Baltimore, Detroit, Washington.
Right.
Like that's
yeah. So
three. It's four great teams from last year.
Give me a split there. And is that not 5-3?
That's 5-3.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do worse.
No, I that's right. I mean, just the idea of them being 0-2 is intoxicating.
Oh. I agree. 803-0550. Here's Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
How you doing?
Great.
Great. I'm listening and I'm going, here we go again. They allowed 40 points. Here's a team that Josh Allen should be thrown for 200 yards a half. He's at 143 after three quarters, and then it's like, oh, yeah, I guess we got to throw downfield. The first drive, they went up 50 yards, a nice pass to Kincaid, but almost everything was behind the line of scrimmage. And why does this team think that this is what can win against good teams? Because we've seen it all the time in the playoffs. The defense allows his dash continually. And it comes down to getting lucky and winning the turnover, which they won because Derrick Henry fumbled the ball. Otherwise, it's tough.
Right.
I mean, I don't want Allen to throw for 400 yards, but I don't want him to have 140 yards going into the fourth quarter not leading a game. And that second drive just killed me when they tried to rush up to the line of scrimmage. Three runs in a row, and then all of a sudden, all the momentum was let out of the sails, so to speak. And, you know, we're going to learn nothing. We're going to learn nothing until they play a good team again. And when they play Cincinnati, and Cincinnati can throw to Higgins and Chase nonstop, then we'll see how they do. And you know what? Kansas City, I'm not worried about. And to look at their schedule, I don't care. Because you know what? They're going to end up ahead of Kansas City, and they'll beat them because they're at home. It'll be the playoffs, and that's the problem. And you know what? We're lucky. We have a team that can go 17-0. Whether they go 17-0, you know, they got by the toughest opponent they're facing all year.
That's right.
Week one.
Yep.
And will Baltimore score 40 points every week? Then we'll see how their defense, how the defense is. Because I don't think Baltimore's offense is that good that they can walk up and down the field like they did.
You know. Thanks, Anthony. They went into the season when the schedule came out as favorites against everybody. Then the line turned and they were underdogs against the Ravens. Now they're going to be favored against everybody else, unless something goes really sideways before the Chiefs are here in Week 9 or whatever that is.
Yeah.
They'll be favored in every game until that one, at least.
The best I can do for you on the defense right now is tell you that at least as far as what's new there goes, the rookies on the defensive line did not have a good day to start the game. I mentioned this a few times yesterday. Sanders is on the field for, I think, 16 snaps. Four of them were touchdowns. There's big plays all over the place. He and Walker together weren't good. Walker didn't play a defensive snap in the fourth quarter of this game. Like I think it became obvious to them, you know, the coaches watching this unfold, like we can't trust these guys right now. And Those are guys you, I mean, Sanders is a second round pick. You are counting on impact there. You know, Walker's had a nice summer, and that is supposed to be a thing that is going to help you avoid disasters like you had against Baltimore. Stop the run, like shore that up. I mean, they're 0-1 on that count. I mean, they got trampled in this game, and the kids had to get off the field. So, I mean, it's a long season, and you're talking about rookies. All right, so learning curve, and hopefully, you know, they managed to get this win, and the schedule softens up here. And hopefully, everybody can kind of figure out what they're capable of and who should be doing what. Eventually, they'll get Hoyt and Ogunjobi into the mix, and you know, maybe by midseason or later, you've got a better idea of what your mix is, percentage of snaps, who can be relied on, that kind of thing. But for starters, those two defensive tackles were a disaster in this game. And they're not alone. Like the line, I watched a great breakdown. Joe Marino is doing some stuff with Jeremy, and he's a regular guest on the morning show. They're doing a podcast together with Jerry Ostrowski. I watched Joe's film breakdown of the game. It's not every play, right? But it's just, you know, pockets of the game. Here's this play. Let me give you an example of what was going on here. Milano and Bernard had a tough, very tough game. And, you know, you could say in their defense, well, if the defensive tackles weren't doing their job, that's a part of the problem. But Joe does a great job of sort of explaining just routes were bad, routes, whatever, to the ball carrier. There were mistakes from guys that you're counting on to be much better than that, and don't even get me to the safeties. I mean, that was also really bad. And those aren't rookies. But as far as, like, what's new, because Milano and Bernard, you want to just say bad game. Because they've been good players, even great players, all pro for Milano at one point in his career. You shouldn't be worried about them, but man, I'm telling you, they had a tough game on Sunday.
But you could be worried about them. I mean, Milano's been through a lot. Bernard's okay. He's been a playmaker, but he's not somebody that I think is going to be on any, you know,
yep,
all pro teams or all-star teams just playing.
Yeah. The point I'm making is the new guys that you were counting on to make a difference, I mean, they had to be taken off the field.
Well, it's one game, or let's stop drafting them. Start drafting speed one of these years. Playmakers. Here's Greg next. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Listen, you know, one of the things I heard Josh Allen continually talk in the postgame interviews is that the game is 60 minutes long. It's 60 minutes. He said it over and over and over again. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody has mentioned the fatigue factor to Baltimore and that they did not play 60 minutes of football. And why did that happen? Maybe this defensive line and our offense wore him down and created fatigue. Derrick Henry fumbles that ball because he's fatigued. And I'd like to know what Henry's stats are in the second half minus that long run. How many runs did he have, and what were his stats? And when a team is winning by 15, 16 points in a fourth quarter, you can't run the ball, and you've got Derrick Henry, something tells me on the sideline with Harbaugh, when he doesn't go for it, fourth and three, he has no confidence in his team because his team is fatigued. And then on top of it, Keon Coleman and Allen are as fresh as can be in the fourth quarter. And they're tearing apart two cornerbacks that are supposed to be the premier cornerbacks in the league. And they're injured. I saw one had a hand injury. Something else was going on with the other one. And maybe it's physicality. And maybe the Bills team is just that physical.
I'm sorry. This does not hold up at all. The Bills ran 85 plays in this game, the Ravens 51. The Ravens offense was tired. 85 to 51.
Yeah.
How many yards did Henry have besides that?
I don't know. You wanted to take out his touchdown. It's easily looked up. You could look it up. It's easily looked up. I don't know.
I don't have the stats. I'm not.
Well, you have a computer. I mean, I don't know it either, but you could look it up. I just don't think this holds up at all.
You guys are there. Look it up. Tell me what it was.
Well, the defense, I would buy that their defense could have been fatigued. 85 plays is a lot of plays. But I don't know about Henry. Week one, him getting tired seems hard to fathom for me.
He hadn't played a game in 9 months.
So
he's running through the Bills' defense. He was tired. He's had games where he had 30 carries. You want to know the answer? Find out the answer. But to me, it's not even a consideration that he would have been tired there. Outside of, like, everybody's tired because it's week one and there haven't been the hard yards, if you will, to that point. But I can't believe that Baltimore changed its approach to the game because they were tired. I mean, it's the opener. And they had the offense was so easy for them. It would just be incredible to me if you're right. It'd be more egregious how they lost the game if they decided that their guys were just not like Derrick Henry, who cannot ever get hurt or be stopped, even in January. Like, he's tired? Please. Dan Leberfeld at 4, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.